What's up?
This is Zach, and you're listening to another episode of Explains on the Bitcoin Well podcast. Happy Bitcoin Conference Week. Although it's just come to a close as I record this on Thursday, most of the biggest news to come out of the conference was related to government regulation around Bitcoin and crypto in general. The White House says the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve is being finalized, and the Clarity Act is supposed to be getting wrapped up next month. Although these have been things the government has been saying for a while, but they totally promise it's almost done this time, guys. We also had sort of a historic moment as the new sitting SEC chairman addressed the conference and talked about the Project Crypto initiative designed to modernize the securities rules around crypto. Honestly, that's kind of a mixed bag all around, as it seems like the government is setting itself up to buy a bunch of Bitcoin while it opens the playing field to all of the crypto scams on the market, legitimizing the fiat 2.0 that the vast majority of the crypto space has already become. The theme of the conference definitely felt like the government and corporations are here and you better get used to it, which for sure sparked some debate at and around the conference. Speaking only for myself, I think that if Bitcoin was ever going to succeed, that governments and corporations were always going to get involved. So I don't see any of this as bad, just as an inevitability. First they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then they join you because there is no other choice. You can't stop Bitcoin. You can only choose to use it sooner rather than later. If anything, this just means our push to get Bitcoin into everyone's hands needs to accelerate, because we don't want everyone we know getting into Bitcoin after all the governments and corporations of the world. So to that end, let's jump into today's episode, a sort of bonus episode outside the normal curriculum we've been following. It's all about crypto versus Bitcoin, which is kind of appropriate, and what sets Bitcoin apart from all the other crypto of the sea. So as always, please email me any questions, concerns, or issues to z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. That's z.addair@bitcoinwell.com. I look forward to hearing from you and enjoy the show. If you've been following this series, you understand why fiat money is broken. You understand how miners secure the network, how nodes enforce the rules, and how your private keys give you genuine sovereignty over your wealth. Hopefully, Bitcoin makes some kind of sense to you now. And then you open a crypto exchange, and you get hit with a wall of over 20,000 other cryptocurrencies. Coins named after dogs, coins promising to be a world computer, coins claiming to be faster, cheaper, smarter, and better than Bitcoin in every measurable way. And most of them, if you look at the chart, have already quietly gone to zero. Tens of thousands launched, most already gone or hanging on to life by a thread. But the survivors, they're loud, and they lead every newcomer to ask the exact same question. If Bitcoin is old and slow, shouldn't I be looking for the next Bitcoin? Aren't these other coins just better technology? And it's a fair question. And how you answer it will determine whether you protect your purchasing power over the next decade or lose it chasing a mirage. Today, we're looking at the rest of the crypto market, what altcoins actually are, the hidden trade-offs they don't advertise, and why Bitcoin doesn't just lead the crypto market, it exists in a category of its own. I'd even go as far as to say that Bitcoin isn't crypto. So let's get into it. Altcoin is just the catch-all term for any cryptocurrency that isn't Bitcoin. Kind of telling that you need a word for that, isn't it? The first one showed up around 2011. Developers looked at Bitcoin's open source code and thought, what if we tweaked? What if blocks came every minute instead of every 10? And what if we added more features, more flexibility, more programmability? Well, here's the fundamental problem that gets buried in every altcoin pitch. Every single change has a cost. Bitcoin's design, the 10-minute blocks, the limited transaction space, the rigid rules, it wasn't an accident or a limitation of early technology. It was a deliberate engineering choice. There's a concept called the blockchain trilemma. That idea is that it's extraordinarily difficult for any network to maximize three things simultaneously: security, decentralization, and scalability. You generally have to pick two. Bitcoin deliberately picks security and decentralization. Most altcoins sacrifice one or both of those to give you faster speeds or flashier features. They just rarely advertise what they had to give up. When someone tells you an altcoin is basically Bitcoin but better, they're not necessarily lying about the better part. They're lying about the basically Bitcoin part. Bitcoin's creator, Satoshi Nakamoto, disappeared in 2010. No ongoing influence, no controlling stake, no CNBC appearances to pump the price. He didn't pre-mine millions of coins for himself before launch. He didn't raise venture capital through an ICO. He mined Bitcoin the same way everyone else did, with a CPU competing fairly from block one. That circumstance is completely unique in all of monetary history. It can't be replicated. Nearly every altcoin has the exact opposite situation. What I call the founder problem. Known founders, people who can be pressured, subpoenaed, or arrested by regulators. Or they have pre-mines, coins secretly created and handed to insiders and venture capitalists before the public was allowed to participate. And ongoing control. Foundations or development teams that can pause the network, roll back transactions, or change the monetary policy at their whim. When a known group of people controls the monetary policy of a coin, you're not trusting mathematics. You're trusting them. You're trusting a CEO. You've recreated the Federal Reserve, but this time run by a tech founder with a white paper and a Discord server. That is the exact problem Bitcoin was built to solve. Let's look at the actual pitches for the biggest altcoins on the market and compare them to the reality. First up, Ethereum, the pitch.
A world computer for smart contracts and decentralized applications.
The reality? Its complexity is its biggest liability. Hundreds of millions of dollars lost to smart contract hacks. The monetary policy has been changed by the founders countless times. And in 2022, Ethereum made a fundamental switch from proof of work to proof of stake. This is worth pausing on because we spent an entire video on why proof of work matters. The energy miners expend isn't waste. It's what anchors the chain to physical reality and what makes a valid block impossible to fake. Proof of stake throws that out. In a POS system, that's perfect, isn't it? POS. Nothing is being burned. There's no real-world cost to participating. Validators are chosen based on how many coins they already hold, which means the people with the most tokens have the most power. You can simulate an attack with nothing but wealth, making it no better than fiat 2.0. The security model is fundamentally different and, in my view, fundamentally weaker. Vitalik Buterin, the founder of Ethereum, who has enormous influence over the protocol, was a key architect of that switch. He may or may not be right, but you should know that he made the call, and he could make another one if the idea strikes him. Ethereum is a fascinating technology experiment, but it is not sound money, ultra or otherwise. Next up, let's talk about Solana. The pitch.
Blazing fast, cheap transactions. Ethereum, but actually scalable.
The reality. Solana has experienced multiple full network outages. The chain simply stopped producing blocks for hours at a time, multiple times. That is not a minor bug. For a network positioning itself as global financial infrastructure, that is a fundamental reliability problem. The launch was heavily VC-backed, with a large portion of supply allocated to insiders before the public could participate. And the validator set is centralized enough that a relatively small number of players could, in theory, coordinate to control the network. Solana is fast. It achieves that speed by compromising on the decentralization side of the trilemma. The trade-offs are real, and the outages are the receipts. Also worth noting that all of these coins talking about improved speed don't even have a fraction of the transactions that Bitcoin has. So it's not even a fair comparison from the jump. Anyway, let's move on to Litecoin. which I have to admit, I used to hold some Litecoin. Okay, please forgive me. It was 2016, the times were different. Okay, Litecoin, the pitch.
The silver to Bitcoin's gold. Faster block times, 4 times the supply.
The reality? Faster blocks mean less security per confirmation. And every practical advantage Litecoin once offered has been absorbed entirely by Bitcoin's Layer 2 technology. Litecoin solved a problem that no longer exists. Worth noting, Litecoin is one of the first coins we're talking about today that was just a copy and paste of Bitcoin's code with some modifications added by its creator. Litecoin also recently experienced a critical security incident on April 25th, 2026, triggered by a zero-day vulnerability in its Mimblewimble extension block. Where do they get these names? This flaw allowed an attacker to exploit outdated mining nodes, executing a denial-of-service attack on major pools and facilitating invalid transactions that pegged coins to decentralized exchanges. Wow, that was a mouthful. Just another example of how these added layers of complexity that altcoins brag about, more often than not, just open them up to new forms of attack. Speaking of which, next up, Bitcoin Cash, or Bcash, another coin that's not a copy of Bitcoin, but a fork of the Bitcoin chain with modified code. The pitch?
Bigger blocks, more transactions per second, and claimed by its users to be the real Bitcoin.
The reality? Bigger blocks make it prohibitively expensive for regular people to run a node. Validation centralizes into massive corporate data centers. Bitcoin Cash chose throughput over decentralization. Bitcoin chose the opposite. We covered the block size war in an earlier video. Bcash is what happened when the losing side of the argument decided to take their ball and go build their own Bitcoin. The market has rendered their version of Bitcoin all but worthless. Next up, Ripple, or XRP, as you probably know it. The pitch.
Fast international settlements for banks and financial institutions.
The reality? Entirely controlled by a centralized company, Ripple Labs, which owns a substantial portion of the total supply, the SEC sued them for selling unregistered securities, and they were forced to pay out $125 million for selling unregistered securities to institutions. When a single company controls the ledger, it isn't a decentralized network. It's an inefficient database with a token attached to it. Next up, Dogecoin. Everyone's favorite cute crypto mascot. Another coin that was just a copy of Bitcoin's code with some added modification. The pitch.
Fun, accessible, community-driven. It has a dog on it.
The reality. Created as a joke in 2013 with no supply cap, 5 billion with a B new Doge are issued every single year forever. No ceiling, infinite inflation. It is a pure hype vehicle that transfers wealth from people who buy late to people who bought early and have an audience large enough to move the price. And last but not least, stablecoins like USDT, USDC, the pitch.
Digital dollars without the volatility, the best of both worlds.
The reality. Genuinely useful for trading, but fully centralized. The companies behind them can freeze your wallet with a keystroke, making them basically central bank digital currencies with extra steps. And ultimately, a stable coin is just a digital wrapper around the US dollar, the same inflationary fiat currency Bitcoin was designed to escape. So you haven't solved the problem, you've just repackaged it in a more convenient format, I guess. So if altcoins are compromised, centralized, and broken, how do we solve Bitcoin's speed limitations? How do you buy coffee with something that takes 10 minutes to confirm a block? Well, the answer isn't to break the base layer, it's to build on top of it. This is how every major technology infrastructure works. We don't modify the base TCP/IP protocol every time we want a faster application. We build layers on top of it. HTTP runs on TCP/IP. Email runs on TCP/IP. Every website you visit, every video you stream, every message you send runs on TCP/IP. Say that 5 times fast. The base protocol is decades old. Nobody is proposing we replace it. and the entire modern internet was built on top of it without touching the underlying infrastructure. Bitcoin's Lightning Network applies the same logic. Treating Bitcoin's base layer as the protocol, Lightning allows for millions of transactions per second, near instant confirmation, and fees measured in fractions of a cent, all while the Bitcoin base layer remains the steady, hyper-secure, decentralized settlement layer it was designed to be. Want to buy coffee? Lightning. Want to settle a $1 million transaction that can never be censored or reversed? Base layer. You get the speed altcoins promise without giving up the decentralization that actually makes Bitcoin valuable. It's not a compromise. It's the correct architecture for building out something to actually be a neutral global money on the internet. After 15 years and tens of thousands of competitors, Bitcoin stands alone. And that's not tribalism, that's the structural reality. Network effects compound over time. Bitcoin has the most liquidity, the most infrastructure, and the most regulatory clarity, and the most institutional adoption of any cryptocurrency by an enormous margin. Monetary networks tend toward winner take most. The internet didn't end up with five equally popular email protocols. We all converged on one. Value networks do the same thing. Bitcoin's monetary policy is immutable, 21 million. That number will never change. No founder can alter it. No foundation can vote to adjust it. Every altcoin's monetary policy has either already been changed or could be changed if the people in charge decided it was convenient. That's not just a technicality, that's the entire game that Bitcoin was designed to overthrow. And the Lindy effect applies here more than anywhere else. The longer something survives, the longer it is likely to keep surviving. Most altcoins don't make it 5 years. Bitcoin is over 17 years old and still accelerating. Every day that passes without it dying or being overtaken by some altcoin makes it more deeply embedded as permanent global infrastructure. And here's the pattern I see over and over again with newcomers. They discover Bitcoin, they start to understand it, and they think, if I had bought Bitcoin in 2013, I'd be rich. That opportunity has passed, so I need to find the next one. So they go looking, and the crypto market is designed to meet them right there, with 1,000 projects happy to tell them they found the next big thing. Some get lucky, but most don't. And the ones who don't lose real purchasing power that could have been quietly compounding in Bitcoin. Almost every altcoin follows the same arc. A novel pitch, influencer hype, a massive price spike, retail investors buying at the top, and a slow or sudden collapse. The founders move on to the next project, and a new pitch is created for the next cycle. Rinse and repeat. Something to help you when you get excited about some new crypto coin, go look at the price history of every altcoin you can find, but don't price them in dollars. Price them in Bitcoin. What you will see is an endless history of cryptos reaching a high in Bitcoin during their biggest mania and then never reaching that same price again. All crypto, without exception, is trending towards zero when priced in Bitcoin. Here's what actually separates Bitcoin from everything that came after it. Satoshi wasn't trying to get rich. He was trying to solve two specific, well-defined problems. How do you create digital scarcity without a central authority? And how do you build a monetary system that can't be debased by the people running it? Those are computer science problems and monetary problems. Bitcoin was the answer. Every altcoin since has flipped that equation. They create the illusion of innovation with the entire purpose being to make money. The pitch is dressed up in technical language, but the actual design priority is price appreciation. And that's exactly why there will never be another Bitcoin. Not because the technology can't be copied or maybe even improved, but because the conditions that produced Bitcoin are gone. In 2009, nobody knew what this was. There was no money to be made, no hype cycle to ride, no venture firm cutting a check. Satoshi solved the problem because the problem needed solving. That context is unrepeatable. Every project that launches today does so in Bitcoin's shadow, in a landscape where the incentives are permanently, obviously financial. You can't put the crypto genie back in the bottle. So study the original, stack the original, and secure the original. In the next video, we're getting practical. We'll break down hot wallets versus cold storage and show you exactly how to take true ownership of your Bitcoin. See you there.